kept them in check. Tens of thousands of poor became a disorganized army of the night. Others hustled too.
Last few candles going.
This is it, the last few candles of the day, right?
What price are you asking for them?
Well, I was selling boxes for $3 a box, or these for 50 cents each.
Isn't that a bit of a ripoff?
No, not really. Well, it's there's a blackout going on and people are going for them.
It was party time on Manhattan's fashionable East Side, an evening of quick, easy friendships. Outside a luxury apartment house, I found friendly neighbors.
Where were you when the lights went out?
I was in a class at NYU, and the professor said she thought we could go home.
And you, sir?
I was lounging in my easy chair watching a hell of a good movie. But fortunately, I keep an emergency bag that I take up in the North Woods, and I reached in and turned on all my lights.
We could all learn a lesson from you. Where were you, sir?
I was looking for my old lady.
Where were you when the lights went out?
The lights went out. I was in the movies in Seeing This Side of Midnight. And it was a terrific movie and a great sexy scene, and it suddenly blacked out and everybody almost fainted.
But there was no party at Bellevue Hospital. The blackout there triggered an immediate life and death crisis. The blackout of 1965 forced hospitals to install backup generators. Bellevue's failed. Only fast work by teams of firemen and emergency service cops got power into emergency rooms and intensive care wards in time to fight off death. Doctors and nurses had to use primitive hand-powered airbags to keep alive 15 patients who had been on electrically powered respirators. Just as this woman was being rushed in with a miscarriage, a healthy 7.5-pound baby girl was being celebrated in the obstetrics wing. She had been delivered from darkness into the light of an emergency generator, carried in by a fireman at the last moment. North of the civilized, ordered compassion of the blacked-out hospital, thousands of East Harlem residents had taken to the streets in an orgy of looting and burning that shocked many of their neighbors. For it was not only the hardened criminals, the known felons of Spanish Harlem, who had joined the human locust swarm. The cover of total darkness allowed the lowest qualities of previously peaceful people to surface. At first, there was only sporadic rock and bottle throwing at police. Later, there were shots fired. The cops were hard-pressed to keep cool.
Looting, people running, shots being fired, you know.
At you.
Right. You see you come out of the block, you know, towards our direction.
More than 3,000 people were arrested during the blackout. Street cops tell me that was but a small fraction of the reality. Tens of thousands learned crime can pay.
These are not the tools of a community affairs officer, but Detective Mike Williams has had to use them tonight. Why?
It's strange, Jeff. Years ago, 1965, right? The first blackout, I was a rookie in the 2-5. And at that particular time, everybody out there in the street was trying to help somebody. This time, it's all different. It seems like they've just gone wild. But tonight, even now, if you go down on 96th Street, south of 96th Street, you see John Q. Citizen out there in his white clothes so he can be seen by the traffic lights, directing traffic. I was in the 2-4, and three people came up and said, what can we do to volunteer? It was really something, you know, it's...
But once you move north of 96th Street into the ghetto...
I don't say ghetto, it's just they have an idea. It seems like... It seems like if it ever happens again, we're going to get it.
As it was, their violence was directed at property. There was not so much as one single case of a mob attacking and beating an innocent bystander or a cop, although many police officers were wounded by thrown bottles and bricks. And there was the case of Detective Richard Buggy, who was still hospitalized with possible spinal damage, thanks to being thrown down a flight of stairs by looters who were trying to escape arrest. One cop trying to capture a looter was shot and wounded in the Bronx. At Brooklyn Jewish Hospital and Medical Center, emergency generators failed. Surgical teams and emergency service personnel set up a makeshift field hospital in the parking lot. The fire department rushed in high-intensity spotlights. One nurse described it like wartime and said, "We're at the battlefront." Boxes of gauze bandages were stacked on a station wagon. Soiled sheets, bottles of disinfectant, and litters were piled nearby. And in the middle, surgeons, nurses, and orderlies worked on a seemingly endless flow of patients. Glass cuts, knife wounds, injuries of violence on New York's darkest night.
I was working two murders on the four phones on my desk at police headquarters when it suddenly happened. For the first few seconds,